1989, my thoughts were short, my hair was long. Caught somewhere between a boy and man. She was 17 and she was far from in between.
Okay, we are back coming to you from Las Vegas, UFC 229, right around the corner. Felice, how are you?
Oh, I'm fantastic. I feel so good.
What's it like 3 days out? I mean, anxious, trying to rest,
This time, 3 days out is so different than it normally is. And I think because over the years, you know, I've been fighting for 16 years. And when the sport was in...
Did you start at two?
I was 18. I'm older than I look. I take good care of myself. But now it's just, you know, having like a good like nutritionist. I've been working with George Lockhart, and I feel like I'm not cutting.
There's
weight.
Your tie-in that we were talking about before. There's the tie-in.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I feel so good. I've never felt before. I have all this energy, and usually you dread like having to do, you know, no offense, but the media and stuff. Like you just because you don't feel good
right,
when your
right.
body doesn't feel good. You're like, oh, I got to muster up energy that I don't really have. And right now, I legit have so much energy.
Is it, since you have all the energy, is it good to do these types of things so that you kind of, you know, there's things running through your mind and you're not just thinking about the fight? Because we're going to talk some other stuff, not just
fights. Yeah, it just depends. I guess it depends on how nervous you are for the fight. Sometimes I personally don't really like to talk about my fights ever. I'm like, because that makes me more nervous.
Sure, sure.
I can shoot the shit all day and talk about cupcakes and whatnot, and that's okay before a fight. But talking about the fight is what I'm like, let's change the subject.
Okay, well, and you
well,
did this.
You're not going to.
No, you did the show in New York. You know, we don't talk a lot about the fight. You know, I want the national audience to get to know you, you know, find out a little bit about you. Something I've always wanted and I've never asked. How does the music thing work? You know, you have your walkout. Do you have to pay the artist for that, or how does that whole thing work?
Oh, no. I don't know what the deal is with – I don't know what the copyright deals are, but we can just pick whatever music we want. Except I heard, like, I think the one band that doesn't allow it is Metallica.
Right.
Because Carla Esparza, Carla Cookie Monster,
right.
she's one of my best friends, and her walkout song was by Metallica for so long. And – like a couple fights ago, they're like, yeah, you can't use that song anymore. It's just Metallica. So I don't really know.
I don't know how that works, because I know that my YouTube channel kind of got hit for playing music that I'm not authorized. But our radio station pays the rights to run the music.
Yeah.
So I don't know how the whole thing
works. I'm not in that industry. I don't know how it works. You're going to have to ask somebody else that question.
I'll ask
somebody
Robert Zander from Cheap
Trick. Knows.
What's the strangest thing you've thought about in the middle of a fight?
You know, that usually, probably it's when I have a wardrobe malfunction, which I haven't had a wardrobe malfunction in a while.
Uh-huh.
It's like, oh, everybody see my boobies.
Yeah, right.
That's probably that. But
I was interviewing one of the fighters. I don't remember who it was. And he said that he was fighting Dennis Seaver.
Uh-huh.
And they started to talk German. And in the middle of the fight, he starts thinking of the Glorious Bastard movie, which I've never seen. So I don't know what that means. But he's like, I see the movie in my head in the middle of the fight.
I can't really recall any memories like that. I'm pretty focused when I'm fighting, but I'm sure I've had all kinds of crazy thoughts in my head.
Matt and I were talking earlier, you know, with Conor's fight and the huge fans that he brings. Can you hear fans when you're fighting, and whether they're for you and against you, and does it matter either way?
I sometimes can. Usually I'm pretty honed in on my corner and my coach's corner. For whatever reason, I can hear my coach. Not my coaches, my opponent's corner loud and clear. I can hear my corner loud and clear. Sometimes I do hear the fans, but it's very rare. It has to be like there's a big chant. You know, like, you suck the least. You suck the least. And I'm like, I don't suck. And then I'll probably like amp it up even more just to show them, hey, I don't suck,
right.
man.
Or the Portuguese, the you're going to die thing.
Oh,
or,
God, good thing I don't speak Portuguese.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's why that whole thing was funny, you know, when he said that he heard German and that he thought of that movie. What about, like, memorabilia and stuff? Not necessarily your stuff, but have you collected? Because, you know, in the NFL world, in the baseball world, they collect each other's gears. And is that anything that you have at your castle?
Actually, Bree McLaughlin, she was on the Olympic hockey team. I met her on American Ninja Warrior. Yes, I did American Ninja Warrior. And we exchanged jackets. She gave me a U.S. Olympic team jacket, and I gave her, this is right after the Ultimate Fighter, so I gave her an Ultimate Fighter jacket. But other than that, I think that a lot of times, like, there's respect amongst athletes, and you kind of just don't, you don't always, like, fangirl right. out on them.
Right.
You know?
No, I get it. How did you do on Ninja Warrior?
I actually, the first time I sucked and bombed, I just, like, tried to run through it real quick, and I fell on the first obstacle. And then the second...
That's those things in the water where you bounce back and forth?
No, I forgot what they're called. You would think I would know.
I watch that show.
Yeah, I forgot what they're called. But then the second time, I was like, no, I got to redeem myself. And then the second time around, I ended up doing really, really good. So, but I'll never do it again.
Hey, Felice, this is Matt. I just had a question. Like, last time you fought was 223 in Brooklyn. We all know what happened with the dolly. Where were you when all that melee broke out?
It was your video.
It was my video. Right. I was in the other bus, and all I hear is, like, all this commotion and stuff. And it was actually really scary because we didn't know what was going on outside of the buses. So I was on the left side of the bus, and that's where Connor was throwing the dolly. And I heard Connor, like, what an idiot, stupid Connor. So I was like, oh, I better get my phone ready because this is probably going to be something good. And I legit, like, got my phone out, like, posted a video, like, got, like, the perfect timing. I got a video of Connor throwing the dolly, and that's the one that ended up going viral. So I should be getting some.
Did you sell it to TMZ? Or?
No, I didn't know that people ripped it down from it was just on my Instagram story. Oh, wow. I'm focused on a fight. Sure. I don't give a shit about that. I'm not trying to go out there and be like, oh, you gotta pay $5,000 for my video. It's just, this is sort of the social media era. You can take anything down that you want.
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
So yeah, I was in the back bus. Luckily, no shards of glass got in my eye.
Are you expecting anything crazy this time around? I mean, Khabib headlined another fight that you're in. So, I mean, are you on edge? Are you nervous?
More for the fans.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope, knock on wood, like, lightning doesn't strike twice. But I do expect something crazy from the fans. That's why I was kind of surprised that this fight is happening, just more so because of the chaos that could surround it.
Yeah, but that's anything. I mean, that's any Conor fight.
Russian
that's
fans and Irish fans, like, they don't give a shit. They're in another country. They're just, like, they don't give a crud.
Right. Well, but it's same with Aldo and the Brazilians, and, you know, it's the same kind of thing. So it's going to happen either way. And I haven't really told anybody this, but since you took the video, so when Conor and his group ran up to the Barclays and banged on the door, that was me standing at the door. And I looked over at him, and I looked away. I didn't let him in. Somebody else then went and let him in because I know better. Because if I let him in, you'll never see me again because my credentials will be pulled and all that kind of stuff. So that was the start of it. And then they ran by us and then ran downstairs.
Wow. Yeah, it was crazy. You didn't really know what was all happening until it was kind of too late. It was just scary because, you know, you see all this stuff on TV with, other stuff, way more serious, like bombings and shootouts.
Did you know that it was them right away?
No.
Because I didn't when they ran by me.
I didn't know it was them because they were on the other side of the bus, and so everyone on the right side of the bus was like, oh, my God, oh, my God, and all I hear is all this stuff outside, and I was scared. I was like, oh, my gosh, does somebody have a gun? Is somebody going to, like, shoot all of us fighters? You know, it was – until we knew what was happening, it was very scary.
All right, a couple more questions for you, and we appreciate your time. You're going to go to dinner with four people, living or passed away. Can't be family members, can't be team members, any of that. Who are you going to just kind of hang out with and, you know, spend a couple hours?
I would love to hang out with John Travolta. I just love him. John Travolta. My gosh, what's his name? He's on the Santa Claus movie. He's from Chicago. Big tall comedian. Of course, I get brain farts. Vince Vaughn.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So Vince Vaughn. I should pick a chick. Who do I like? You put me on the spot here.
Sorry. You thought we were going to talk serious stuff.
No. But now I'm, like, really thinking because I don't want to go back on my answer.
Yeah, because we're going to remember for next time.
Oh, Melissa McCarthy. She'd be fun. I think we would have so much fun together. And Hunger Games. Katniss Everdeen. What the hell is her name?
I never saw the movie. So.
You never?
I'm not a movie person.
She's a good person. She's a good actress.
What's your favorite movie?
Goonies. Okay. And Uncle Buck.
I haven't seen Uncle Buck, but I've seen Goonies.
Goonies and Uncle Buck.
Hey, you guys.
Don't ask me to do the truffle shuffle. I'm not chubby enough right now for that.
That's funny. All right. Three bands are going to perform in your backyard.
Oh.
They can be still together. They can be.
Okay. Journey.
Okay. Steve Perry or the new guy?
Steve Perry.
Thank you.
Hello.
Okay. Yeah,
hold on.
I'm with you. The only one.
Yeah. Journey, Mumford and Sons, just because I want them to sing. I don't even know if I believe. I just want that song. And.
That's awesome.
And Bon Jovi. Living on a Prayer, because I really want that song to be sung.
Have you seen any of those three?
I've seen Journey. I saw Green Day, which that was just like concert tickets I got. Green Day's. Okay, they're probably going to hate me now if they hear this. I haven't seen a lot of concerts.
Are you comfortable at concerts?
Concerts. I've seen Gwen Stefani.
What one concert would you like to go see?
Oh, I've seen Motley Crue. What would I want to see?
Because we never know what your answer is, and you never know who I know.
So I better really think about this. Ex-ambassadors.
I have no idea who that is.
I don't know why I'm not going busting. Oh, Van Halen. I want them to.
All right, which Van Halen? Was it Sammy Hagar?
Or
David Lee Roth.
The one who sings, I think it's Sammy Hagar. I think I like Sammy Hagar.
He's the one with the bar in Mexico.
I don't know. He's the one where the CD cover is black and it's got like gold and it has the VH in it. Why can't this? The one that sings "Why Can't This Be Love"?
Who is that, Matt?
I have no idea.
We'll grab up on the Google machine. All right, final question for you. Not fight related, but fight related. What are you thinking about backstage? You're getting ready to go out.
Backstage is a very calm moment, surreal. It's finally it's here because you have all this anticipation building up for the fight. You're training, you're grinding every day. It's like 8, 10, 12 weeks, however long the camp is. And, you know, you're done with the weight cut, which is like the first fight. And I'm really just like, okay, 15 more minutes, and then I can think about Christmas. I always think about
really?
Christmas.
That's awesome.
Always. I think because Christmas gives me like a warm, fuzzy feeling, and I'm always like thinking about the food and hanging out with my family. And so I just realized that the fight will be 15 minutes, and then there's my life after fighting, and I can look forward to Christmas.
What's the first cheat food, you know, real food that you haven't eaten the last 10 weeks? What do you eat?
Well, Giorgio's Deep Dish Pizza is the best pizza in Chicago.
All right, we got to get her down to Tampa, don't we, Matt?
Absolutely.
My co-host, Matt, owns two pizzerias in St. Pete. The best pizza I've ever had.
But you've never had Chicago pizza?
I'm sure I have. I've been in Chicago, sure.
Luminati's?
Yeah,
had?
I've had it.
All right, well, then, if you say so, I mean, I'm all for it.
Trust me, I got you.
I guarantee Matt's pizza is
better. I fought in St. Pete before. I think like two or three times.
In St. Pete or Tampa?
Both. I fought in St. Pete XFC.
I'll try to
make you a trade, Felisa. Well, I'll make a call to get Vince Vaughn in Chicago because he's from there, and I'll cook and we'll do a dinner. We'll make it all fun.
Oh, that would be nice.
He does cook good pizza. I don't like to give him credit for anything. Trust me, but his pizza is pretty good. And I used to commentate the XFC, so I think you fought right after I left the XFC.
Oh, okay, all right, yeah.
Don't get me started.
I won't. So,
as you already know, because we talked before the show started, for coming on, we have a few gifts for you. And we are going to hook you up with some Wicked Good Cupcakes.
Oh, my gosh. I dream about those cupcakes. Those were so good. I didn't know what to expect when I got them. There was these cupcakes in a jar, and I literally was like, okay, I'll eat one a day. I ate one. Then I was like, oh, I gotta eat the other one. Then I like put one next to my bed while I was sleeping in case I got up in the middle of the night and wanted to eat it. I ate it, and then I was like supposed to save the last one for my boyfriend, but I ate that too. And then he woke up in the morning wanting to eat it, and it was gone. And it was next to my bed, and he was like, so what did you do?
You couldn't say anybody else did it.
No, I'm like, hey, I just dieted for 10 weeks, okay?
What's your favorite flavor? Do you know? Because I'll put a special request in.
Okay, I haven't had them in a while, just because I've been dieting. I think I like the peanut butter one. I think that was my
favorite
peanut
butter surprise.
One. Peanut butter surprise. I don't like chocolate-based ones. I like all vanilla-based ones. I thought there might have been a birthday cake one that I like.
Yeah, there's a birthday cake. After the fight. I won't send the request in until after the fight because I don't want you to go to the website until the fight's over.
Okay.
Okay, because I'm not going to torture you.
Yeah.
So after the fight, tell me which ones you want. I'll get a hold of Scott and okay. We'll get
you. Because there might have been one with s'mores or I have to refresh my memory.
Sure.
Those are I salivate. I actually gave a lot of those as gifts since I got them. So thank you for sending those
to
me.
Well, I'm never going to say thank you for doing that. Also, we're going to send you another shipment of 8-Man Strong Gear.
Oh, I love 8-Man.
And get you set up with that and George and all that goes back. As always, it's great seeing you. Thank you very much for your time. Best of luck on Saturday.
Thank you.
Enjoy the cupcakes. And I'm going to send it back to you, Matt, for a minute.
All right, we're back at this is Knockout Radio on our Wednesday episode of Talking Sports with Randy Harris. We've fused these two shows together to make 1 2-hour segment. We talk about a little bit of everything, anything sports related, UFC related, combat related, also sports, NFL, NHL, local sports. There's nothing off limits. So, as you heard, that was Randy Harris in Las Vegas live covering UFC 229, getting ready to go down. That was Felice Herring. She was taking on the karate hottie, Michelle Waterman, on Saturday night. Michelle Waterson on Saturday night. So her nickname, Little Bulldog, fighting out of Chicago, Illinois. And she was, as you can hear, she's been training with George.
And I happened to call him about something. Did you send me this watch?
I'm not sure if you guys can hear me over. Randy's still mic'd up in there and on site. But we're trying to do a show, which is extremely hard to do when two people are out of the state where we can't see each other. We can't communicate verbally or you know, eye contact to know when one person starts or one stops. And then you add in live interviews and unexpected things. So, you know, technical glitches, it's extremely difficult. But we appreciate your patience and being part of the fan base. We're doing everything we can to bring you the most up-to-date, raw interviews. Felice was there, and her video that went viral. So, you know, when the dolly went through the window at UFC 223 in Brooklyn. So it's all relevant. It's all current. So it's kind of nice to get both accounts of what was going on, how the feelings and emotions dictated their fight, and how it plays into on Saturday. So it's great to do this show with you guys, and we were really excited about bringing you guys the best interviews up to date, on site, live, the best way that we can. So I think, you know, she talked about her nutrition. She's training with George now, and I think a lot of the UFC fighters have come a long way to where they're using science to their advantage. You know, they used to cut weight so drastically to make a weight goal, and then they would have no energy to even do media interviews, as you heard Felice talk about. So you know, last week on the Joe Rogan Experience, you know, my friend and mentor, BioLane, Lane Norton, he went on to discuss science and talked about nutrition from a scientific standpoint. I also am a flexible dieter. I use my gimmick of
Matt, you're back. Okay. Yeah. You were boring me with your diet stuff.
No. It was relevant because we're talking about how the fighters cut weight.
Right. Well, we have another fighter here that's cutting weight.
Yes.
So we don't want to talk about food, cutting weight.
No pizza.
What we're going to do is we're going to push Leah Letson back a couple of minutes. We're going to get Nick Lentz on here real quick just to catch up with him. I believe you've been on the show before, and I want to thank you for your time.
Yeah, man, anytime.
Well, what's it like a couple of days before a fight? What's going through your mind? Are you trying to think about the fight? Are you trying to chill and not think about the fight? I know every fighter is different.
I mean, every – every fight camp is different, you know, when you show up, depending on how good a shape you're in, how much weight you have to lose, all that kind of stuff. But in general, it's just it's a waiting game. It's a long week,
right?
You know, and that's kind of what it is. It's kind of, you got to try to stay focused. You got to stay trying what you're doing. Like this fight camp is very easy because my weight's fantastic, my health is fantastic, everything is really good. So now it's easy. I can go out, I can walk around. If I walk past a food place, I'm not going to murder somebody, you know. So.
But you're not going to eat it. But you're not going
to
murder.
I won't eat it, but I just won't. Right. Like, I won't have to like hide in the room just to be antisocial or be away from everybody.
How difficult is it? Because this is a work trip. You know, this isn't vacation. You know, whether it's Vegas or New York City or whatever. But you also want to enjoy your life. You know, I mean, sooner or later, all of our careers are gone, and, you know, you're going to cities that you may never get to. So how do you decide, I can go out and walk around or go to that museum or go do something, but keeping in mind you're here for work, not for pleasure?
Well, me personally, I'm not – everywhere I've gone, I've been all over the world with UFC and for fighting, you know. So, I mean, I've been to almost every continent on the planet, and it's really not that different. You know, I mean, you see a lot of hotel rooms. You see a lot of the same people,
right?
You know, it's the same fighters, the same stuff, especially when you've been around for a long time. And, you know, my legacy and stuff when it comes to what's important to me are like my children and my family at home. So when I have to leave that, that's where I feel like I'm losing time with them. So like coming to other cities and stuff, I don't really care. Museum's a museum, everything else is thing. And once you've seen one, you know, you've seen a lot of this stuff, and I've got to travel the world, and maybe that's because I've gotten to. Mm-hmm. I can see from a different perspective that what really matters is the relationships you have at home and stuff, and so that's really what I try to focus on, and that's what I miss the most when I come out.
How old are your children?
Two, and one of them is almost two, and one of them is 4 months.
Okay, so they don't know yet.
Yeah, they don't know yet. You know. But I mean, the last time I came home, my daughter knew enough. She cried. She was so happy. You know,
really?
It was a big experience for me. And also my wife, you know, I miss my wife. I mean, that's what I do. But a lot of guys like to see the city, see the stuff. But to me, it's really not that fun. I don't enjoy that stuff. Like that.
When you get a contract, all right, you're going to fight whoever, wherever, do you look at, and what's more important, who you're fighting? Well, you just said you don't really go out, but I mean, do you look at the city? Do you look at where it's been? You know, does it matter if it's a place you have been or haven't been? Or again, it doesn't really matter.
What matters is taxes matter. So
people don't think about that.
Whenever I fight, wherever I see it, if I see it like when I bought in Australia, you know, they take like 40-something% of money. So when I see that, I'm like, oh God, are we sure we can't reschedule this one? You know, when I signed up for this fight, I sent Sean a list of things, and they were all America.
Right.
Because I had fought in Australia before. I was like, I would like to actually get some of my money this time.
Exactly.
So that's mainly what I think about is tax, and also, I mean, who wants to sit on an airplane and die for 30 hours and stuff like that? Like, that's no fun.
Right.
And stuff like
How much does that kill you? You know, to be on the plane and just...
It all depends on how much weight you're putting and what you do, you know, and how long you've been doing it. So, I mean, when I originally started doing it, it was stressful, it was hard. You know, putting out 10 years in, and to UFC.
Can you believe it's been that long? I mean, you've been on the show before, and when I wrote down my 3.5 notes, you know, and looking at your record, it's like, you know, it's not 3 years. I mean, you've been around a long time. Does it feel like it?
It doesn't. You know, I mean, I've been... When I first got into the UFC, let's just say I wasn't ready for it. I wasn't ready for anything of it, and yet I still beat everybody. It's an amazing thing that I was able to just, through sheer willpower, beat a lot of guys I shouldn't beat and hang around that long. And then after about 5 years, I actually developed enough skills that now I can take it, you know, much farther and make more money than I ever have. But before that, I mean, when I first got into this, I wasn't prepared for the media. I wasn't prepared for the fighting. I wasn't even a whole person. I'm still trying to find out who I was.
Right.
And so, I've grown up in the UFC, you know, they were just telling me, I learned stuff all the time. They were just telling me that I just passed into the top 50 of people who have had so many fights.
Right.
Only like 50 people have had that many fights. It's crazy to think about that.
Right.
Or crazy to think that. I mean,
well, I'm sure
I'm only 3 wins away from the most wins in UFC history.
That's
like,
crazy.
Like, it's crazy to think of that. And
Because I'm sure you don't think of you, all you're thinking about is your next fight.
Yeah.
You know, maybe the last fight, depending on what happened and stuff, and then you're thinking about the next one.
Yeah, it's surreal. It's surreal to think about that. You know, I or every once in a while, someone will post a picture and have a stat in there. That's the sixth in UFC history in takedowns, third in strikes landed, or something. You know, right. Like it's crazy.
Right.
When you think like, wow, I've never thought of that, and I never tried to do any of these things, but like I said. Just sheer willpower at the beginning, and now with talent and training hard, and you know having a purpose in my life, I managed to string it together this long, and I got a long way to go.
What's the strangest thing you've thought of or that has happened in the middle of a fight? And I always bring this one up. I don't remember who I was talking to. He said he was fighting Dennis Seaver, and he was over by the corner, and he was talking German. And he said, I started to think of the Glorious Bastard movie, and I could see the movie in my head in the middle of the fight. And he said, I had to catch myself. What's the craziest thing? Craziest thing you heard? Just...
I would say the craziest thing that's happened to me in the fight would be when I fought Rob Emerson right at the end of the first round. Alex slipped off and he turned around and he swung like a he like closed his eyes and swung like a baseball bat and he hit me as hard as he could. I've never been hit that hard in my life. Like. It was just the perfect storm. Like he closed his eyes, swung as hard as he can. I stood right up into it, and I remember that round. And I remember going out in the third round, and we walked in the thing, and he like kind of gave me a hug, and he was like, good fight so far. Let's make it a good third round. And then I woke up in the back, and all I saw was white, and I was like, holy crap, did I just die? And I turn around, and there's a cameraman taking pictures of me. And so I was in a photo booth.
Right.
I don't remember the third round. I don't remember anything about the fight. And then I looked at him and he said, raise your hand. And I was like, well, at least I won the third round. And I won the fight and I raised my hand and I had a good time after that.
That's awesome.
But that's the most I've been hurt in a fight. And that's the craziest thing I ever thought because right when I said, like, yeah, good fight, you know, let's go fight. And then it kind of stopped. It's like I almost knew that was going to happen.
Right.
And I thought, like, wow. I just beat that guy and didn't even
remember. Explain to me when a fighter, and I'm sure you're going to say the same thing, is you enjoy this. You're having fun. You're in combat. You're in a fist fight. You know, it's not like, you know, you're playing baseball. You know, this is a little bit different. You know, it takes a special person, you know, to train what you guys have to do and then to go and have a physical combat with somebody and enjoy that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the best things about fight week. Is people who are fighters, you know, we're very normal people, and we have families, we have, like I said, kids, we live very respectable, normal lives. A lot of us are a lot more educated than a lot of other sports stars and stuff like that. We're in college, like we live a normal life, but there's something inside of all of us that is a little dark, and we get to go, and when we get to fight, we get to let that side of us out. And I think a lot of people have that, but they don't ever get to release it. They never get to try.
Interesting.
Hey, Nick, I speaking on that, I mean, you went to the University of Minnesota, and I know you at one point you were like a semester away from pre-med. Did you ever finish your degree, and do you see yourself taking on a role in medicine after you're done fighting?
No, I would never go back to school. You know, I thought that place was kind of a con artist type place. But, I already have, I've run a few other businesses and I'm starting a couple other things that I've done throughout the years. And that keeps me busy outside of the fighting realm. One of the things that's hard about fighting is that it's one of the only jobs where you have a limited time that you can put in the work. You can only train 4 hours, 6 to 6 hours a day. After that, you just can't do it anymore. That's all you can do. So you have to have other things to occupy your mind. Am I ever going back to school? No, I probably couldn't do it. Too liberal, too crazy for me.
All right, real quick on the fight itself, early in the card, do you like that? You know, get in, get the fight over with, and then either watch the rest of the fights or you know, get on your way home? Or
yeah, you know, I have no. Thank you for everything. You haven't won before. No problem with where it is. It is actually kind of nice to fight early and not have to wait. And just do all the things because on fight day, you have to you have to show up so early. Like you show up to the locker room and you have to wait. Then you go to the arena, then you have to wait. Then you go to the fight, then you have to wait. Then it's supposed to be your turn, but then you gotta wait like another half hour, and it's just a long waiting game. When you can shorten that up a little bit, it is nice. It makes it so you don't have to sit there all day and protect your mind.
Right.
Because when you fight super late, you have to sit there all day and try to like keep an edge, but at the same time you have to keep all your emotions in check and keep them down, because you don't want that aggressiveness to come out too early. So you have to hold it in for all day when you wait.
I don't know if you fought this early on a card, you know, before or when you have, but is it also different because obviously the stadium's not packed, which always ticks me off. You know, if I have a ticket, I'm going to be there from the first fight.
I would be there too.
Right? It just doesn't make sense to me. But, you know, does that bother you? Does that affect you? Are you even aware of seats, who's in it and who's not?
Not really. You know, when you're walking out to the cage, that little section of where, like, people greet you and stuff is always pretty cool. And when you're actually in the cage, it's very hard to see any of the fans because there's so many lights and stuff. So it's very hard to see anything. It's just dark around everything. So it's, you don't really see the fans. You can hear them for sure, you know, and there's a difference. I mean, and depending on where you fight, if you fight in Brazil, there it's pretty cool pretty early. If you fight in like other places, you know. But no, I mean, I don't think it affects me. And you know, really, I mean, if you're worried about the crowd, you know, it's gonna kick your ass.
Yeah, so you're not worried about the right things.
You better be focused on what you need to be focused on.
Fight in Saturday evening. Your home Sunday, your home Monday, you know, whenever you go home. What's the first thing you're going to do? The first reward, the first food, the first movie? You know, what's the first thing you're going to do to kind of just let it all go?
You know, honestly, after the fight, it's just you have such an adrenaline dump, but it's hard to describe because most people don't have to do that. You don't have to, like, I trained for 3 months. For 15 minutes of fighting, you know, and one at most.
Right.
So, like, say you go in there and you finish the guy or whatever, it's like all the weight of the world is just lifted off your shoulders and you're super tired, but it's just like, it's like a happy do nothing. Like, I just like to go home, I say hi to my family.
Go to sleep.
Yeah, and just chill. you're able to finally relax. You know, it's like there's like, you can't relax for months on end, and then finally, it's just like, thank God that's over.
Right. You know? Final question for you, and I know this is a stupid question, but you just said, you know, you trained 3 months for 15 minutes. Have you ever ended a fight so early? And it's all about winning, I understand that, but you're like, I just spent 3 months, and the fight took 15 seconds or a minute and a half.
Yeah, it happened a lot earlier in my career, you know, now, I mean, I have, you know, it usually takes at least until the end of the first round or into the second round. Now, you know, maybe before when I wasn't making as much money or something, and like, man, I worked all that hard and I got like this little pathetic paycheck and I didn't even get to really beat this guy up. But now I get paid enough and it can take 1 second, I'm happy.
And you're happy with it. I appreciate your time, Nick, for coming on. We're going to send you some 8-man strong gear.
Oh, thank you.
I'm going to send it back to you guys. Let's hit this break. I'll get your address and we'll get this stuff sent out to you.
Sounds great.
Thank you very much. All right. Coming to you live from UFC 229. Out here at MGM Park. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8-Man Strong and Staff Sergeant.
All right, thanks, man.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Let me get your address. This is the longest running MMA show in the country.
Yeah. I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Yeah, that just means I'm really old. I was on board when it was uncool.
Yeah.
And I've always said, and I almost said it when you said that, I would rather interview, hang out, whatever, with an MMA fighter than any. And I travel with the Bucks. I travel. It's just a different breed of people. I mean, they're real people. They went to college, most. You know, they're educated. It's not.
Yeah, so it's different. I think it's different.
Yeah. Cool. Again, thank you. Take care. What shirt size?
Medium.
Okay.
All right, guys, we're waiting for Randy to get his next interview live at the Vegas weigh-ins. It's media day for the UFC 229. Hey, there he is. Welcome back. Yep. So when was the press conference? When is the McGregor-Khabib?
Tomorrow.
Okay.
The press conference is tomorrow. I know we're running way behind. OSP is scheduled to be here in a couple of minutes, so we're going to try to get on Leah Letson on real quick, who is on tonight's Ultimate Fighter. And then OSP will be on for a couple of minutes, and then we'll close this thing down. Believe it or not, it's times like this that we need more than 2 hours.
Yeah. No, it's hard to keep up track of you because I have no idea how many fighters are waiting in line to come onto the show. So I don't really know which when to take breaks and what to talk about.
Nick kind of gave me like a little dirty look, just so you know.
Really?
So he came over, and he was supposed to be here at 12:30, 3:30, and because I'm Vegas time. And I'm like, oh, you're a couple minutes early. And he looked at me like, I'm going to kill you.
Wow.
And I said, why don't we talk now?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good call. I mean, as far as the executive decisions go, that was a good one.
I want to make sure that I get to, you know, roll and smoke. I'm going to go to one of my favorite restaurants here in Vegas. I want to make sure that health-wise, I'm going to have enough teeth to be able to eat my bun.
Sure, or go to the place where they paddle you, and you know maybe that can become a weapon of defense.
I will never ever go there.
The heart attack. So, what's the place called? The heart attack something.
The heart attack grill.
Okay, yeah. So if you don't finish your burger, they paddle you.
Which is stupid. Who does that?
Well, you can take the paddle and defend yourself against these UFC fighters if they're coming after you.
It's absolutely stupid. I went to that German restaurant, and if you drink this whatever, the shot or something, they do the same thing. What is wrong with people?
I mean, there's a restaurant in Denver that used to cut your necktie if you wore it into their steakhouse, like, you know, because it's supposed to be a casual place. Like, would you rather be paddled or, like, you know, someone to ruin your attire?
I would rather you cut a tie that I never will wear again or even be wearing for you to cut. Then, you know, I've had people, Mick Ferrari gives me a hard time all the time. He doesn't believe I own long pants, you know, because I'm always in shorts and stuff. So, yeah, cut whatever you want. But no, you're not going to hit me. I'm not going to get up and I'm going to relive my childhood and allow an adult to spank me.
All right. Well, but if they spank you too hard, I guess, according to the news, there's a new gentleman's club in Texas called the Emergency Room. So if you get injured, you can just go there.
Oh, my God.
No. I'm just saying it is viral and it's a thing.
I'm looking forward to tomorrow's press conference. I'm looking forward to the shenanigans. I'm looking forward to Conor being Conor, Khabib being Khabib. It being a one-sided press conference and a lot of whatever the name of his new whiskey company is.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of that going down, and I wish I was out there with you.
What also is going down, as we do each and every Wednesday, we get ready for tonight's Ultimate Fighter on FS1, and we're going to do it again right now. I know we're a little late, and I apologize. Let's welcome to the show right now, Leah Letson. Leah, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Not too bad. We appreciate your time. Let's get right into it. How long into filming are we right now? How long have you been in the house?
About 2.5 weeks. About 2 weeks, something like that.
And does it feel like 2 weeks? Does it feel like a month and a half? Does it feel like a year? What does it feel like being kind of locked up like this?
Well, it's something that I'm not completely unfamiliar with, just because it felt like basic training for the Air Force, because we were cut off from society and stuff. But at this point, it felt like a month, I think, just being away from family and friends and completely cut off in that sort of weird scenario where you're living with random people that you're going to potentially fight. So time tends to go by a little bit slower there.
And I always thought that with, you know, you're training with people that you're going to fight, but real quick, the 6 weeks that I did, or 8 weeks, whatever I did, a boot camp, felt like 3.5 years. It just, it was like forever. And then I go in the middle of the ocean for 6 months, and I literally thought I lost 2 decades of my life. So, you know, you don't have any contact, you don't have any of that. But talk about what it's like to be in a house, train with some people that they're really not teammates. They're really just training partners, and you may have to fight any of these people.
Yeah, so it's extremely stressful at first. Like, I was super nervous just being around everyone because, like, I could potentially fight them one day, and I don't know who I'm going to end up fighting and who I'm not going to fight. So you don't really, at first, it's kind of weird and stressful because you don't really know how to act and if you want to train 100% with people, because then you can give away your weaknesses and you don't want to them to know exactly what your strengths and weaknesses are. So it's super weird at first, but then after like a week or two, it just becomes kind of like a fact of life. Like, you're living and training with people that you're going to potentially fight. You just kind of accept the fact that it's a weird and awkward situation, and this just becomes more like straight business in the cage, and you can actually have friendships and stuff outside the cage.
Talk about, and we're only talking up till, you know, today. The show is on tonight. We don't know what's going to happen. So only talking up till now, talk about the emotions, the change of emotions. Your team, Team Whitaker, kind of lost the first couple, then I believe won the last two, leading into whatever's going to happen tonight. How does the emotion in the house, you know, like I said, not really teammates, you just kind of now getting to know them, but you want Whitaker to win. How do you go from losing the first and now winning the next couple?
The first couple, it was actually knowing that we had lost the first couple, because I was like, oh no, like, is our training not really up to par? And I already had felt that our training really wasn't adequate. So I was super nervous going into my fight, just because we had lost the first couple in the house, and I didn't want to continue that momentum. So I felt like there was a lot more pressure on me and Yulia to finish and like to win than it was on the first couple fighters.
Walk me through the phone call or the email, or, you know, when you got notified that you're going to be on this season's Ultimate Fighter.
I think it was back in April, actually, that I got a phone call from my coaches and my manager saying that the UFC wanted me to be on the Ultimate Fighter. I'm like a weird situation where I'm already signed to the UFC. I got signed back in January, and my fight with Yana Kunitskaya kind of fell through when she fought Cyborg. So I was just kind of put on the back burner and put on hold and told to wait and stay ready for a UFC fight. Well, it turns out that they were going to give me the opportunity to be on the show. I could have turned it down and waited for a UFC fight, or I could accept and decide to be on the show. And my coaches and I and my manager thought it was a better idea to go on the show, just so I could get my story out there, get a little bit of fan base, and you know, knock some of that ring rust off, because I hadn't fought in a year and a half prior to this.
Give me your take on Saturday night. Who do you like, Connor or Khabib?
Oh, man. Honestly, I think Connor, because his, like, distance control and his timing and his strikes are just, I think it's going to be too much for Khabib to handle.
Final question for you, and I'm going to let you make this decision. My 40th high school reunion is coming up in 2 weeks. Should I go or should I not?
I think you should definitely go. I know I'm going to go to all my reunions.
I don't like going to them, but I said I would leave it up to you, so I guess that means I have to go now. Oh, that's crazy. How much social media do you do? Are you on Twitter, or are you involved in all that stuff?
Oh, yeah. I'm on social media constantly. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. My Twitter handle and Instagram is at LeonidasMMA, if you guys want to follow me. I'm on there all the time.
Cool. We will get that out. I'm going to put you on hold. If you guys can get Leah's address, we're going to send you out a package from 8 Man Strong for spending a couple minutes of your time with us today.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much. That is Leah Letson. She is fighting tonight on tonight's version of The Ultimate Fighter. Tune in 10 o'clock on the East. And you know what, Matt?
Yeah.
It's 10 o'clock on the West as well.
Hey, good timing.
And guess who just walked by?
OSP.
OSP has just walked by. It was Orlando.
It was.
Last time we had OSP on.
He's a University of Tennessee guy, right? He's played football for the Vols.
That is correct. A long time ago, from Florida. I don't know if you remember, you did our show in Orlando.
Oh, yes.
Back in the time. How you doing? How's things?
Everything's good. I can't complain.
3 days before a fight. What are you thinking? What are you feeling? I know you just went and did some training. And how much do you do? You know, it's 3 days before. Do you walk me through that? 3 days before me coming to do a radio show, I need a nap.
Well, with me, just going over the game plan. This is what you need to do. This is how you need to do. Just fine-tuning some stuff. You know what to do already. There's no reason to add anything else. So just basically fine-tuning, just going over the game plan.
When you get a contract or when your management gets a contract, do you look at and do you care who you're fighting? I know a lot of fighters, I don't care who I'm fighting. You know, in this case, you're fighting an undefeated fighter. A lot of hype coming his way. Is that something that excites you?
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. When people say they don't care who they're fighting, they do care who they're fighting. Because, you know, styles make fights. You know, if you have two strikers or whatnot or two wrestlers or whatnot, it's going to be a completely different fight. So you want to make sure that the type of fighter that you're fighting, his style is going to end up, your style is going to end up capitalizing against his style. You know, Dominic Reyes is up and coming, you know. So he's one of those guys that's putting people away right away. So, you know, but I've been around.
Yeah.
So. I put people away too. So.
No, absolutely. Now, I asked Nick Lance a couple minutes ago, try to, you know, an old, fat, out of shape guy, try to explain to me how you enjoy going in and having a fist fight.
For me, it's not that enjoyable. It's a competition. I've been a competitor all my life. So, you know, the thing about this martial arts is I don't know, like, who's going to end up going against each other. Like, you know, when I used to. We used to do, Tennessee drills when I played football. You line up a DN and you line up an offensive tackle. Whoever wins, wins. And he's just like, you got the whole team behind you. He's just mano a mano. You know, that's the feeling I got on it. I'm going to beat you up and there's nothing you can do about it.
What's your favorite football movie? I can't think of anyone other than Remember the Titans off the top of my head. But.
Remember the Titans is cool, but probably, I think I got to take it back to old school.
See, I've never seen that.
Man, you need to watch that.
See, I'm not a big movie guy because my mind drifts and all that kind of stuff.
It's old school, the program. It's actually a pretty good movie.
I will watch it. I'll watch it on the plane going home on Sunday. What do you do to relax? You know, whether it's 3 days before, whether it's 2 hours before, or on your flight home.
My relaxation, sleep. I love to sleep.
Nothing wrong with that.
So, I love to sleep.
I've asked some of the other athletes memorabilia-wise. You know, we see all the fans that are out here, and they get autographs and pictures and stuff. Do you get
better stuff than we do?
And that's what I was going to ask you. Do you have any stuff? Do you get any stuff?
I mean, I do.
And not necessarily of your own stuff. I mean, do you collect other fighters or other sports?
It's hard, man. It's hard to kind of collect all of that. It's just some of the fans that come up and be like, "Where did you get this from? It's a nice picture." So.
And they don't offer it to you?
Some do.
Okay.
Some don't.
Yeah.
So, some do, some don't.
You know, and when they don't, it's like all of a sudden you forget how to sign or something.
Exactly.
You get a cramp in your hand.
Exactly.
You know.
Typically, I look at it, I'm like, man, this, and I'm finding it, I'm like, this is a very nice picture.
Exactly. All right. We're trying to get some people again to get to know you a little bit. So you're going to go out to dinner after your fight with four people, living or passed away. They can't be family members. And they can't be, we'll say, teammates and managers and trainers. And who are you going to sit down and kind of hang out with? And what Florida Gator are you going to sit down with?
I don't even want to talk about that. But I want to hang around with.
I've always had some really interesting answers. I asked one of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because I do a lot of the Bucs player shows, and the athlete said he wanted to sit down. One of his four was Hitler. Now, I'm Jewish, and I found that a little like, really? And he's like, I wanted to get to know what was wrong with this guy, you know, why he did the thing, you know, which was kind of pretty smart, you know, that.
But he's half Jew too.
No, I understand that.
So it's one of the things where.
The religion really had nothing to do with it on why he did what he did. So what's the more important question? Who the four people are that you're going to go to dinner with or what you're having for dinner?
Okay. Well, my carb intake right now is absolutely messing me up right now. So I'm going to load up with some carbs.
So that's what it would be. How much do you know about your opponent? How much do you need to know about your opponent? How much do you care to know about your opponent?
Me? Well, first of all, it's three fights in the UFC, all three fights in finishes. And all three fights been actually good finishes, too. But also, too, you want to know the telltales of my opponent. Like, I know he fights off ball. I know he likes the first kicks. I know he got a good left hand. Reminds me of me back in the day. But at the same time, you got to understand the same attributes that he has.
That you're the veteran of those same things.
Yeah. To be honest, mine might be a little better than this. So, and it's just like, my thing is to make it feel like,
what's the strangest thing that you've thought about or that's gone through your mind in the middle of a fight? Mind ever wandered somewhere? Or?
I had a fight early on in my career when I was striking for. I had like three fights in 7 weeks there. My last fight that I had that 7 weeks, but I remember I fought November 19th, December 4th, and January 7th. And I remember fighting January 7th, I was in there and I was like pep talking myself. And you gotta get with it. And I never pep talk myself. And I'm like literally like, and if I'm what I call a flow state, if I'm in a flow state, I don't have to worry about it. I'm just going. But then I had to pep talk myself like, come on, man, get your ish together. You know, you both, you BS right now. And literally, like, I was like, don't look like self-motivation.
Right.
And I knew, after that fight was over, I knew that I needed a break because there was three fights that went, basically three fights that went all the way around in a seven-week period.
Well, at least no training camp.
No, you're still training camp in between.
Well, yeah, okay.
Yeah. What the first one out, November 19th, I was home in Florida, Thanksgiving. Got called on a Black Friday, asking me how much I weigh.
You know what that means?
Yeah, and I flew back up Sunday, flew out Wednesday, and I was fighting Saturday. Then when I was there, they were like, hey, you want to fight January 7th? And I was like, oh, man, January 7th, what do you mean? And I was like, they're like, yeah, that's like 4 or 5 weeks from now. I just got through fighting 2 weeks ago, and I was like, all right, cool, let's do it.
When you get the contract, when the management calls you, and, I mean, do you look at times as well? You know, it's around Thanksgiving, maybe not, you know, around Christmas. Or, again, your job is to fight, and that's really all that matters.
My job is to fight. I mean, if you really think about it, a lot of times when the holidays come around, a lot of guys, do they want to fight around the holidays? Probably not. To be honest, it's hard. You got family pressure in you, and when you got family pressure in you, you got Thanksgiving dinner, and you know mama's going to be cooking, grandma's going to be cooking. So, I mean, it's great easily. You can get there and, you know, mess up your diet and whatnot. I mean, with me, I just try to stay away from everybody. This time, when I know I'm fighting, like, even if I'm fighting in January, I'll just stay home. I'll just stay home around Christmas. I don't do anything.
I got a question. So, You're a proud member of the Omega Sci-Fi fraternity. You know, we talked about how national flags and these countries get behind their fighters and really motivate them during a fight. Does that carry over into the stands? Do you hear that? Does that motivate you in different cities? Do they show out for you?
Oh, yeah, they show out for me all the time. You know, I got a couple of them actually coming to fight, and they do that all the time. So it's crazy because, you know, with my fraternity, we love to have fun. We're a little bit rambunctious. We love to have fun. But at the end of the day, you know, once you come to business, we always end up in business.
Right, only because I don't know this. And I had a different last question, but my daughter was in a sorority, and they have these, I call it a gang signal, you know, whatever their sign is and stuff. Do guys have the same thing with whatever?
I don't know
what hers was.
No. You know, every time people ask me, like, every time I throw my hands up this way,
right,
that's what my fraternity does. So everybody asks me, like, why are you doing that? They're like, my fraternity, that's what my fraternity does in college. If you look at Malcolm Jenkins, he does the same.
So is that the same? Was Titus O'Neill in that fraternity? That's why he does it. Yeah. Titus is a good friend of mine in that
you
now.
You went to floor.
Okay, yeah.
Actually, I met Titus. So.
What a great guy.
Yeah, definitely. But, yeah, it's just like all those guys that you see do that, every single guy that plays basically either college football or drill, he'll play for Michigan, he used to do it all the time. So all those guys that play college football, pro football, Steve McNair used to do it all the time. So those, all those guys.
We are out of time. OSP, thank you very much for your time. We're going to send you a package of 8-man strong gear for coming on the show. I need to get your address again. We'll take care of that. Let me send it back to you, Matt, so you can close this bad boy out.
Oh, yeah.
And I will be out here all weekend. It's almost, in the words of Bruce Buffer, it's almost time, and I can't wait. All right, this is Knockout Radio and has been brought to you by 8-man strong and Staff Zone. Back to Matt. Hit me up on Twitter at Knockout Radio.
That's going to do it. It's crazy that we didn't even have time to get Ken Shamrock, the legendary NFL picks this week. We'll get to him next week. Thanks for tuning in. Knockout Radio every Wednesday from 2 to 4. I'm the Naked Pizza Man. See ya.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? Staff Zone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, Staff Zone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the Staff Zone way. Everybody get up.